Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm glad RKC and Cuddy is here, too, because he's a great friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of my favorite members of the Brain Trust. He's the founder of the Learning Center. He's actually a doctor, a medical doctor, who decided that he could contribute in other ways, and I'm so glad that he did, because he and his partner, Thomas Steading, have written and have developed a series on how to build trust into your organization as you manage your business and as you work with other companies, and that created the book called Built on Trust and other publications to come. RKC and Cuddy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you here, and I'm trying to think, RKC. You know, I've got about 500 members of my Brain Trust, and I like to use their books, the things that they say, to sort of give rise to write about for my audience, for my reading audience, and I'm trying to think if there's anybody who has written anything that I have quoted more than your book, Built on Trust.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, Jim. I really appreciate that. It is a foundation book. It's a book that's easy to understand, and that any small business owner or manager or just individual contributor can use to improve the profitability and actually the satisfaction and fun of working in a company and working together and getting something done. So I really appreciate the compliment.
That's well, great. And you know it, and you've known it for a long time, and so is my audience, because I talk about it all the time. Arky, one of the things that we've talked about with some other folks recently is the expense, the direct and the indirect expense and the toll that it takes on an organization when people don't communicate with each other, when they fail to communicate for whatever reason, whether it be because they don't like each other, they don't trust each other, they're too busy, or whatever it might be. The toll is unbelievably expensive, isn't it?
Yes, it is, particularly across the functions, you know, like between sales and product development or manufacturing and distribution, et cetera. Across the functions and across the geographical locations is where the money comes in and the products go out. And so there's where critical communication needs to occur. And you're right, mostly it's good-hearted people who are very, very busy or traveling or just get absorbed in their own, and it starts to develop a silo mentality, which is actually, I would think, the most expensive people interaction dynamic that you can develop. I mean, it leads to silo mentality and crisis reactivity instead of proactivity. Yeah, turnover gets high. You lose the people you really don't want to lose.
And Arky, you know, if you've got people who, I mean, when people do their job in the process of living, in the process of working, in the process of doing business, we all learn things. And sometimes I learn it before you learn it. Or you learn it before I learn it. And if you're in your silo and I'm in my silo and we're not talking to each other except to fire a few shots across each other's bow, then whatever I've learned that could help everybody, if I keep that to myself because I've got what you call an us versus them attitude, that is prohibitively expensive, maybe catastrophically expensive.
Yes, extremely so, extremely so. And also, as well as information not being shared, there's help that doesn't get exchanged. And that is so expensive. And it's silent. It's not something that most people aren't going to come up and tell you. You know, there's a lot of
tension. It's passive aggressiveness, isn't it?
You have to really know how to find it. And then you can address it. You can really address it, and you can really remedy. Most people don't realize. that you can build trust. You can cause trust to be built across these functions. You can actually cause this effective communication to happen, and this help exchange and this knowledge exchange. And that's something that a manager can do as soon as he or she decides they want to do it and gets a few tips on how to do it.
Well, that's exactly right. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a break in a few seconds, Archie. When we come back, I want you to explain to us what it starts looking like when a silo is starting to be built. You know, at some point in time in a business, as a small business is developed, somewhere people start putting up little walls. And, you know, to start with, their ankle high. And then before you know it, they're above everybody's head. I want you to tell us what that looks like, when it gets started, how we stop it, and how we grow from there. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Archie C. and Cuddy is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Archie C. and Cuddy, Dr. Archie C. and Cuddy, the author, along with Thomas Steading, of the book Built on Trust. Now, there's a new book coming out, isn't there, Archie? That's not out yet, but you're working on it, right?
Yes, the book is complete, and you know, what you do is you get an agent, and the agent shows it around, and we have, at least that's one way to do it. And that's the way we're going. And yes, there is a significant interest in the marketplace for it. So we're excited about it.
And you're gonna be telling us more about that as time goes by. And of course, we'll launch it on this show.
We wouldn't
want to do it any other way. Archie, when we took the break, I was mentioning that you can actually, I bet it's possible to actually see the origins of a silo, of an us versus them kind of a silo coming up around a department or a person. And I'd like for you to tell us what that might start looking like.
Yeah, there are a few things to look for. When there's a problem, let's say you're in a management position or a position where you've got somebody you're working with, when people start telling you about the problems and you start to hear blame, well, they're starting to off-put the responsibility. They're giving you back problems rather than stating a problem and then giving you a solution. I would start right away looking to see if there's a silo mentality, because it means that there may be a habit forming of blaming. You know, well, I can't get it done because I'm not getting help from engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to look for. You know, what you really want in a business is you want people to communicate with you, to tell you what the problems are, but to have a solution or to have some options or to at least have done some research on, you know, unless the hall's on fire, so that everybody in the organization is trained to solve rather than complain. So with that complaint, you're likely also to hear in the coffee room just this little toxic buzz starts to go, well, what about, and they're talking about another department, they're talking about another location or the new merger partner or whatever, and one department is talking about people in the other department, not personally negatively, but in a disparaging way, in the sense of, well, we can't get our job done, or we can't do as well as we might because of, and then fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that, you can be pretty sure that some investigation is going to pay big dividends for you. And if you
somebody's starting to lay some bricks on a silo, aren't they?
That's right. There's a wall starting to build up there, and that wall pretty soon gets high enough to where it gets very expensive, and people start to hide it, and it becomes harder and harder and harder to deal with. So you have to unearth it. You have to just go for it and start to ask people the open-ended questions, non-threatening questions, to get to the bottom of it, and then see. And you'll find when you start to do that, that people are not having help exchange in a way that closes the deal. People are not making deals with each other. They're not just doing what they say they're going to do,
mm-hmm.
and they're not providing that promise that includes a time and delivering on that promise. In other words, they're saying yes and meaning maybe, or they're not saying yes, or they're just saying no, it's not my problem. Those kinds of things right there is what you're going to find when you dig down.
Doesn't this happen, Archie, when people don't see other people as part of their success. They only see their work as how they succeed.
Yes, and so individual agendas start to dominate the company agenda, and then department agendas dominate the company agenda. And people care, but they don't see how their success, exactly as you say, they don't see how their own success.
We're talking to the salespeople, we have to make sure that they understand that you know the warehouse and the delivery division contributes, you know, this percentage of our efficiency and therefore our profits, or if it weren't for them, you know, whatever you sell isn't going to be delivered and you don't get paid until it's delivered, or if the accounts receivable folks don't collect the money, you don't get paid because you don't get paid until the money is collected. I mean, and so therefore isn't it important that the way we compensate people financially, shouldn't there be some element of everybody wins in the compensation?
Yes, so the kind of compensation system we like to see has two phases. There is pay for performance, which is good. So there could be
direct performance
commission, right? But then there's also compensation based on the overall success, so that the salesperson, as an example, realizes there's a commission. Yes, but there's also money and benefits and whatever, particularly time, that accrues with overall success of the company. So he or she, the salesperson, is not focused just on the quick sale. They're focused on the repeat sale. Mm-hmm. They're focused on the sale down the road. They're focused on quality delivery, not getting returns. And they're focused on having the customer support people have a life too, you know, instead of having to deal with all the headaches that happen with just a quick sale. So that all of a sudden you find salespeople working much better with the product development, with the distribution, with the manufacturing, and so forth. And I don't mean to single out sales.
Right.
We just started talking about sales, but this is true for any function.
Well, having been in sales divisions for many years, we're fun to pick on.
Yeah. Well, you're very communicative. and actually, it is the lifeblood of the organization. Mm-hmm. But as you say, its usefulness, its profitability depends completely on many other functions. And that's why we say the revenue comes in not through a department, but across all of the departments.
And that's a very important perspective to get across to all your folks. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Arkie, is it a good idea to have the delivery men ride with the salespeople every once in a while? Have the salespeople go in and listen to the accounts receivable people collecting the money? Is that a good idea? We're going to get Arkie to tell us about that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Robert Cray to take us out.
Show, free to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Arkie C. and Cuddy. Arkie, give us your website, please.
LearningCenter.net. One word, LearningCenter.net.
And that's where we can find out more about Built on Trust, which is a book and a program, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We have individual executive coaching, and we also do teamwork seminars all over
right.
the world.
Built on Trust, is that still available wherever books are sold?
Yeah, yes, it is. Well, particularly Amazon.com. Some
right.
of the bookstores have it.
Right. All right. So check that out, folks. And as you know, I think this is one of the most important books that any small business can own. Arkie, we just heard the song Blue Suede Shoes. To compare that to the old Indian saying that you don't know a man until you walk a mile in his moccasins. You know, should we try to get our employees to walk a mile in other employees' blue suede shoes? I mean, you know, should we let the would it be a good idea for the warehouseman to ride with the salespeople for a day and see what they go through, and let the salespeople work in the warehouse for a day, and let purchasing work with the accounts payable and that kind of thing? Is that a good idea?
Yes, for several reasons. First, to see what the other person's challenges are, And second, and that's very important, and second, that automatically lets you see, well, how you might help. And in that process of spending that day in that truck or on that assembly line or wherever, people start to talk and they start to communicate. And they start to get smart because they start to see the whole problem. And the whole problem is the companies, you know, need to get their product out and satisfy customers. They start to see that from more points of view than just their own. That is critical. We actually call that in Built on Trust, we call that intelligence. The ability to see something from many different points of view, you know, before you decide how you want to act, what actions you want to take. And so, and if you can't, and if you can't get people to ride in the truck together, at least get them to sit down and have an honest, clear communication about how their, what their challenges are.
Well, see, Arky, this would be one of those things where it wouldn't be a democracy. If it were my business, and I had a business that had, you know, that had enough, that was far reaching enough that people didn't always get to see each what either other was doing every minute. This is where I would say, you know, folks, this part of it is not the democracy. This is a dictatorship. You will ride with each other. You will work in the warehouse. You will go over here. I'm going to pay you to do that and make sure that they see that the challenges that each person has in their own jobs and probably what they do contributes to their challenge and how to stop that.
Yes, it's a good idea, and I agree. You know, businesses are not democracies. You want to get buy-in to things, but at the same time, you know, you have to model the behavior you want, you have to show the behavior you want, and you have to require it. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you require it in ways, again, that build buy-in and that build trust. But at the same time, you have to be responsible, and people like that. As long as it's not, you know, completely weird or off base, people are going to follow that leader. And that's important. That's actually what I would say is an accountability of a manager in any company, is to lead in that way. And no, it is not really a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's the most important thing? If you had, you've got small business owners at your knee now, Arky, and we got about a minute. What would you, if you have 1 minute to talk to them about what they could do to make sure that they build their organization on trust, what would you tell them?
I would say today, call together, or Monday or Tuesday morning, call together your immediate reports, the people who are reporting to you, and I'd ask two questions. I'd say, how do we do, and how do I personally do on my commitments to you? Do I ever say yes and seems like I mean maybe? I'd get that conversation going. And then how do we do with each other? And the second question I would ask is, how are we with our agreements with one another? When we say we're going to do something with one another, do we give a time for it? Do we give a delivery time? And are we clear about what we're going to deliver? And does everybody who's affected know what that is? Or do we sometimes say, yes, I'll get to it, but don't give that time?
Right.
And those are the two questions out. And I would guarantee that will be a positive communication, that there will be low-hanging fruit that will show itself.
There will be some surprises, won't there?
There will be surprises. And there will be, and you will not have to wait 6 months to see the increase in productivity. It will be there.
The low-hanging fruit will jump out at you. And folks, I hope you'll take advantage of the words of wisdom of Arky Ciancutty. Arky, thank you for being here today again. Good job.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Arky Ciancutty, ladies and gentlemen, the author, along with Thomas Stedding, of the book Built on Trust, one of my favorites. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will be here live on Memorial Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.